Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I don't know how I've managed to pull off this week's podcast guest, but I have, and I'm very excited because I'm here joined in the actual flesh with Tommy.
Good morning.
Tommy's actually quite nervous because we have quite different approaches. We have quite different approaches to work and to life in general. So if it had been up to Tommy, I would have sent him all the questions in advance and he would have meticulously prepared each one. But I'm lastminute.com. So even 10 minutes before coming on, he was like, so what are you going to ask me? I was like, I genuinely don't know yet.
I'm coming in cold.
Alf is now a year old.
He is. Mm. First of all, it's an honour to be on the podcast.
Do you know what it's called?
That's the word.
Babe, I'm very excited. I've basically emotionally blackmailed him on. I actually did an Instagram poll with you guys before even asking him. I was like, what questions should we ask him? And then it was just a series of emotional blackmail of, I carried your child for 9 months. I pushed out your child, but I'm actually really excited because a lot of the questions are really good and stuff that maybe we haven't talked about. And also, I think, especially in like the mum world, we talk so much about our own feelings that maybe we forget about the dads and their feelings. And so it'd be interesting to get a different perspective. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So no, they're all nice questions. I'm not out to get you, but who knows? Depending on the answers, we might have a public breakup. Yeah. Why don't we start nicely? So, like, it's been a year since we've been on this parenthood journey. So how would you reflect on your first year of fatherhood?
Good question. It's been a roller coaster, isn't it, of emotions and being a father in lockdown, moving house, moving to another county, being in a new relationship. You know, there's a lot been going on this year, but having Alf has just made everything a lot better and happier for me with so much craziness going on in the world. There's so many challenges and, you know, there's a lot of changes that are happening constantly every day, but I'm loving it.
That is the crazy thing that you said, that we are actually in a new relationship.
Yeah.
So how has that been? Because like you said, you've basically adjusted to dating someone new, moving in together. Kind of like, so just for context, Tommy and I actually didn't really plan to move in together. We, when Boris made that first lockdown announcement, you were at my flat, weren't you? And then we were like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Because we didn't know how long the lockdown was going to be. So we didn't know whether to like, part of us was like, oh my God, we might be locked down for a long time. Should we do it separately? And then the other part was like, oh my God, we might be locked down for a long time and then we might not see each other for ages. So yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't been a normal, what is a normal relationship? But there's been a lot fast forwarded. But I felt like, you know, being in that situation, lockdown, felt the complete right thing. It's been an amazing journey, you know, we don't really talk about it like day in, day out, do we? But now I'm on your podcast, I'm well. So yeah, no, it's been incredible. And there's so many things that I'm proud of this year. And, you know, since we've had Alfie and what you've done this year and how incredible this podcast is as well and seeing you grow. So it's nothing but love.
How do you think, like, basically, because we talk a lot about mum guilt. So the guilt of like, either if you've got to go back to work, not being there for the baby, or if you don't go back to work, feeling guilty about your relationship. Like, there's just the talk of mum guilt all the time, but we never really hear talk of dad guilt. Do you ever feel guilty? Do you ever feel guilty for leaving me with your son while you go to work?
I've been lucky. I've worked from home the majority of the last 2 years. I've been in the office, you know, here and there when things have sort of
But not even just
bit,
in the context but, of work, but do you ever experience a form of dad guilt?
Yeah, during the Euros.
Oh my God, this is how different. Tom's trying to rack his brains, like, when have I felt guilty? Oh yeah, I felt guilty when every moment, every time there was a football game on during the Euros, which by the way is quite a lot, that he wanted to go watch it.
Well, I've always wanted to do a World Cup or Euros, and I was lucky enough to do a few of the games. And obviously leaving you all day during those times, I did feel very guilty. But, you know, I feel like it's about compromise and it's about support. And I try and make up for those things by doing breakfast and helping out with lunch and dinner and tidying and cleaning and doing things, you know, around the house that I can control. I can't control, you know, when Alf needs you and he needs feeding and he needs his mum, but I can do the things that make your life easier.
To be fair, you have actually been pretty considerate as well. Like, apart from the Euros, that was actually the first time, I think. How old would Alf have been? The Euros in May.
Yeah, he would have been a few months old.
So 5 months old. That was the first time I experienced major FOMO, because I felt before then we'd been in lockdown, not much was happening. I was pretty content in my bubble, and then suddenly we were kind of like allowed out, and even people that didn't like football, like most of my friends, were at beer gardens celebrating the Euros, and I was like, cool, I'll see you all later then. I don't even know why. Like, I think if it happened now, I'd probably just go to the pub with my friends. But
Alf was still young. Now we just take him everywhere, because you just learn and develop as each month goes past. You get more fearless. Babies are more durable than you think.
Do you feel like you've had to compromise your what you thought you would want from parenting to kind of suit me?
No, do you know what? Like, you have to compromise. Like, you can't be selfish anymore as a dad. Like, when you become a dad, it's not about you anymore. It's about Bubba. It's about you, probably the dog, than me. So I'm fourth in the pecking order now, and I know my place. But I don't feel like I've had to compromise my life. Like, you have to adapt and change. You know, we try and, you know, if you give me like half an hour a day to go for a run or go to the gym or whatever it is, that makes me a better dad and a better person and makes me happy, whether it's going to play PlayStation or going for a walk or,
you know. You don't play PlayStation.
No, but other dads. So, you know, it's about compromise. And similar with you, like, if I know that I can help you by taking Alf for a walk for an hour or so, or running you a bath, or, you know, taking Alf off your hands for however long, that makes you more relaxed, makes you more at ease. And I always say, I'm always thinking about how I can help.
Would you have wanted us to be in more of a routine?
No, not necessarily. It's hard. It's so hard to have routines in lockdown now, isn't there? Like, it's every single week changes, every month changes. You get a routine and then things change. So I would love more of a routine with Alf sleeping. I think we both would. Like, that's
we're working on the sleep.
That's one thing that's like obviously difficult. The first 6 months compared to the last 6 months, we found more of a routine with him, i.e. like when we feed him, now he's weaning, bath time. We don't have a strict routine, but...
I mean, we literally have zero routine.
He eats
and he has a bath, but it's not like, say, for example, like my sister, they know that at 5:30 he eats, at 6 he goes in the bath. I think it's about half an hour later. Like, we don't have that.
Yeah. Maybe. We've started to get better. He has a bath around 7-ish. And
last night, 8.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we have no routine.
So, to be fair, that is like quite a lot of the questions are around like sleep and stuff, because obviously we co-sleep with Al. He's a boob man. How has co-sleeping affected you? Like, would you have chosen it? because I don't remember us like really having a conversation about it, but equally I don't remember you ever being like, no, I really don't want him in the bed. It just kind of happened, didn't it? Did it?
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, ultimately it's, I've always taken the opinion that it's your decision around, because Alf's always been such a boob man. He's so dependent on you, especially in the nights, that it's difficult not for him not to co-sleep, and that's where he feels most, you know, safe and warm. And
I think basically what Tommy's saying is, if he'd have had a choice, he definitely would have done cry out.
No, I would have
controlled.
I would have dipped
crying.
My toes into it. I would have. Yeah, maybe explored it. But I completely respect why we haven't done it. And he is such a happy little dude.
That is my only thing, I think, that I've been really firm on. Like, for me, I don't want to do quiet out. And it's funny because actually, like, loads of parents, like people that I know really well, people that I don't know, I feel like that's always the thing of like, if you want them to sleep, let them quiet out. And I find it really hard to know how to respond to it, because obviously you don't want to offend people. But like, for me personally, it's something that I have never been willing to compromise on. I keep saying to Tommy, I would rather never sleep again. I'm like, if you want to go sleep in the spare room, you can sleep in the spare room.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of being a parent, is you make those decisions yourself, and there's no playbook. There's no right or wrong answer. You know, everyone has their opinions on how they should do things. And yeah, like, you know, Alf doesn't sleep as well as he could do, but there's so many other benefits of that that we see in during the day, and the way he acts and his emotions, and he's a sensitive little dude, but he's such a happy little guy.
He's so happy. He doesn't so cry. Happy.
So yeah.
I was going to say also with co-sleeping, I don't think that I ever made a decision to co-sleep. Do you remember how excited I was about my snoo?
Yeah.
You know, the bed bassinet, is it a bassinet or a bassinet? I never know, but the bed bassinet that it like rocks and it's meant to mimic the sound of the womb. And I was so excited about it. And I spent a fortune buying like all the different sheets and swaddles. But because my birth was like so horrific and I had like stitches and everything else, I found it quite hard to, I think our bed, which I'm lying on now, it's quite low compared to like a standard bed. So, it's a great bed because it's got a velvet like cushion thing on it. So for breastfeeding and stuff, it's been great because it's soft instead of a hard frame. If you're pregnant and you're looking for a bed, I'd recommend it. Soft frame bed instead of, no, because if you're on like good. A headrest, but it is slightly lower than your average bed, I've now figured out. So when it came to putting him in snoo, it just felt really, like he was a heavy baby as well. He was 9.5 pounds at birth, and it was a lot to try and like maneuver him in and out of somewhere. Whereas I felt like my instinct was like telling me just to keep him on me, and it did make breastfeeding easier and it felt quite magical. And then it kind of just became a bit of habit. But I remember saying, when we move house, he'll be in his room. When we do this, he'll be in his room.
Little dude's going to be 18, still sleeping in our bed.
Inviting his girlfriend around. And I'll be like, hop in.
Don't mind us.
How do you feel knowing that you get to sleep and I don't? I didn't actually make that question that somebody asked.
Look, I know I get more sleep than you. I know that. But it is broken. Even though I can't physically feed him, he doesn't take a bottle, he's just the boob man. My job is, when he wakes up, is to push him towards the boob, maneuver him into the boob, and sort of roll back over to the other side. And I'm pretty good at doing that 3 or 4 times in the night. But I'm happy. I don't need much sleep. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I know the pain of the person that asked this, because basically most mornings Tom will be like, oh, Alf was up loads last night. God, I barely slept. And I'm up in the night, like I am up, and I don't get to sleep with the duvet, obviously with safety, with co-sleeping. And so we put Alf on top of the duvet. So I'm normally there shivering away with a boob out, feeding Alf, picking him up, moving him around. This guy next to me, sound asleep under the duvet. And then he'll be like, no, I always help when he wakes up. So I feel like the person that asked this is probably like,
it's for a dad, if for a baby co-sleeping, and as dads, you probably do get more sleep. Well, you definitely get probably. More. You do get more sleep. It's a minefield in the morning asking, especially when my mum stays over and she says, "How did he sleep last night?" And you've got to be quite conservative. You've sort of got to say, "Not great, but not bad." So
Tom just guesses. He goes, "Yeah, really well last night." And I'm like, "Who was up all night?" And he's like, "Shit."
There's no right answer there. But no, you've been amazing. There's like, it's crazy how little sleep you need and how your body adapts. Although, you know, there are times when you're like, "Shit, what do I do for a living?" There's times when I've been presenting at work and I just can't find my words. I'm not the most articulate at the best of time, but on little sleep, it can be difficult.
I also look back at pictures of us from my pregnancy and I'm like, "Oh, we look so well rested." We look like both really fresh.
Yeah, our eyes are open.
Interestingly, breastfeeding, I feel like it's kind of interlinked with sleep, isn't it? Because I suppose that is one of the main reasons that we co-slept and it's worked for us. But do you feel, as a dad, obviously, like you're not able to breastfeed biologically, like, do you feel like you've missed out at all on any of the parenting?
What, from like a bonding perspective? The first few months is probably the most challenging from like a bonding perception with your baby. I've found he doesn't really start to realize who you are until, you know, after the first few months, I would say. So that was fairly challenging, that bonding piece. Like now I feel like our relationship is so much stronger than it was at the start. Like, he knows who I am. He recognizes my face. He's starting to say D, daddy.
Yeah, he goes D.
And I feel like a lot stronger bond with him. Yeah, but whereas at the start it was trickier. But I've never felt resentment or, you know, any of those sort of feelings from you breastfeeding. I'm very proud of how you champion breastfeeding, and I know it's difficult for a lot of women to continue it for whatever reasons, but you've always been so strong, and yeah, I have no resentment for you in that sense.
How do you feel like it's impacted how you've been able to help? Because I think, and by the way, that's not me asking that, lots of people ask that, because I think there's like this rightly or wrongly sort of perception that, so a lot of people say, "I didn't want to breastfeed because I wanted both parents to be equally bonded." Or they say, I wanted parenthood to be equal. So how did you feel that you could contribute to parenthood without the feeding side of it?
It's hard to contribute from a nutritious side of things. Now, obviously, like, I make his breakfast and I'll give him lunch and I can give him dinner.
But also, you've always cooked for me.
Yeah, I guess from that side, like, outside of, I guess it's just about like, what can I do, or what can new dads do to support you so you don't have to worry about keeping the house tidy? So, you know, I would do all the cleaning and the washing up and the dishwasher and washing clothes. Basically, I was like,
by the way,
Cinderella.
I do sometimes. Tommy's making it sound like he's literally Cinderella. Like,
I am. But I still cook every night, and you are very messy, so I'll clean up every after you.
I'm not messy.
But you're like in a nice way.
I'm
like,
clean messy.
You'll put something down and leave it there for 5 days and just forget about it. I will watch you do it, and I'll say, in my head, I'm like, "That's going to stay there for a week," and I'll test you, and you won't touch it.
But what Tommy does is he will get that thing and throw it in a cupboard, whereas my cupboards are like immaculately. I would rather the messy thing be out on the surface.
You're
the
clean
fridge
behind closed eyes. Your cupboards are beautiful, but everything else is messy, which is just mad. Anyway, I would say like I focus on the house and the cooking and cleaning and stuff.
Also,
like that.
You've really enjoyed, I'd say less so much now, but definitely at the beginning, you loved like picking out his outfits and putting him in like your mini me
like
outfits.
Yeah,
and you've always changed nappies.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been afraid of, I mean, the first nappy you do is the scariest. I'm the oldest child. A couple of my close mates have had babies, but then they sort of moved away. So I haven't been around babies a lot. I've always wanted a baby. I think I've never been scared of having kids. It's always been part of something I wanted to do, have a family. But the practical side of having a baby, it's just hard to prepare for. Unless you've got, you know, nieces, nephews or young brothers and sisters, it's difficult to know how to change a nappy, to know, you know, what temperature the bath needs to be, how much lotion do I need to put on him, how warm does he need to be. But you just learn, you just deal with it and just get on with it, don't you?
That's so funny. I just remembered that when Alf was when he first came into the world, we had this little egg. I think it might have been a Tommy Tippy one, but anyway, it was like an egg that had the temperature on, and if it was the perfect temperature, it'd be like orange or yellow, and if it was red, it meant the room was too hot, and if it was blue, the room was too cold. And you were like obsessive about that little egg, weren't you? You'd constantly be like opening the windows, putting the heating on, closing the window, like worrying.
It's too
so
hot
much.
It's too cold.
I think it might be too hot, the egg's red.
But now I'm like, you just learn and adapt and you just get on with it. You're less uptight, I would say.
It's funny because you actually, I mean, I guess it's like similar to like our approach to work and stuff. Like I'm very like lastminute.com and I'm like, it'll be fine. Whereas you like to be like really, really prepared. And I think that was our approach. Like during pregnancy, I don't think I read a single book and I was just like, meh, we'll figure it out. Whereas you, I think, read two books and you were like doing all your research. And
I don't know. It's weird. Like for work and for a lot of things in life, I like to do my research and be prepared. I like to know the content that I'm presenting or I'm talking about. But yeah, with having the little man, like I did do research, but not as much as I could have done in hindsight. You know, we did, you know, a lot of people do the NTA classes.
NCT. What is NTA? The NTAs are the National TV Awards.
Oh God, that's an award you dragged me to. Yeah. exactly that.
Sometimes I actually regret not doing the NCT classes because I feel like a lot of people.
Me too.
Met like people going through it at the same time. Do you?
I find it. My best mate Shane, he goes to these NCT classes, and every time I see him on there, he's got a beer in his hand. And I just think, where are these NCT classes? Why are they at the pub? But no, I think you're right, especially moving to a new area. And
I guess to be fair, if we'd have done the NCT classes, it would have been in Battersea. So actually, we would have still not had anyone.
We did do a form of NCT, but you know, we blitzed it out in a weekend.
Yeah, and it was like a private one-on-one class,
which was really helpful, and obviously. Like the NCT classes are really useful and they help you feel more prepared. Because the scariest thing is taking him from the hospital back home. And it's just like, right, shit, what do we do now? We've got this little precious thing.
That's actually a really interesting thing. Cause like we talk about birth stories a lot, whether they're like positive ones or whether we're honest about it. And, you know, in my case and some of my previous podcast guest hosts, like the more tricky, challenging ones. So what was the birth experience like for you?
God.
How was childbirth for you, darling?
Childbirth. The build up to childbirth, you're on edge. You're constantly thinking like this could be the time, is this gonna be the time? And like unless you speak to someone who's gone through it, I would definitely recommend speaking to someone who's gone through it. As a dad, to get to have an and read the books to have an understanding of what to look out for.
Well, I remember we actually thought it was coming on Christmas Eve, didn't we? And panicked, made sure we had all the bags packed, and then they just stayed by the door until the 9th of Jan.
But I think we got there all right, and you know, I wasn't allowed in at the start, and then I was allowed in pretty early on, which was obviously amazing. The whole experience as a dad is just like, right, what can I do to support Ash and make her more comfortable? It's not about me at all. I made it my mission to stay awake the whole time. And
cheers, love.
And you, no, but it was like 18 hours and the nurse said, look, you can go away now or you can go sleep.
I was absolutely fuming, by the way, with the midwives because I was obviously like in a world of pain. It wasn't the contractions so much that I found bad, but because I had the pelvic girdle pain, it was like this constant pain and I thought I was dying. And they kept going to Tommy, oh, if you want to go and have a nap, this would be a good time to have a nap. And I remember thinking, like, fuck off. Why does he get to go have a nap? Not even like, why does he get to have a nap as in like, of course, if he was tired, but I was like, please don't leave me.
Yeah.
Don't leave me like this.
And then it's just like trying to appease you and make sure you're happy, and you ask for
a C-section. I was like, I need a C-section. Cut it out.
And I was like, I think that ship sailed, love. and the nurse was like, yeah, that can't happen right now. But the whole experience, like, you were, and we haven't talked about this a lot, but you were incredible. Like, my respect for women in general went up 1,000 times after experiencing childbirth and seeing what Ash went through and seeing her bringing my little boy into the world. I was all right the whole way. I was like holding your hand and trying to comfort you and speak to you the whole way. And I was together, and then
doing my Thames machine.
Your Thames machine. God, the Thames machine. And then I just broke. I was just a mess. It all sort of overwhelmed me at the end when, you know, you could hear little man come in, and I think at one point the nurses said his heart rate had slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
And you were obviously in so much pain, but just doing so well and just pushing through it. And I just had to step into the bathroom and have a little cry. I was like, all right, I'll be back in a minute. and that was just like, you just can't explain those emotions. And then I came back, dusted myself off. And then obviously there he was.
Welcome to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, a brand new podcast bringing together people's real ghost, extraterrestrial and paranormal stories, as well as getting some inside details from those who study the supernatural. I'll be listening through your paranormal stories every week and try to understand them, as well as chatting about my own encounters with an occasional paranormal investigator too. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts from, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Acast. Just search for Paranormal Activity with Yvette Fielding.
We gave birth at, I gave birth at Chelsea in Westminster, and they had this thing, which I've been told has now been cancelled around the country, which is gutting, but called continuity of care. So you basically have the same midwife throughout your whole experience. Like, they came to our house. It was NHS, so none of it was private. So we had the same midwife, and every time she came over, Tom was like, I don't think she likes me.
I tried so hard with her.
I was like, but it's not about you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That's it. It's not about me. So I felt relaxed around her, and I knew she'd take care of you. But obviously, like, no one prepares you for childbirth. There's a lot of hush hush around childbirth from both sides, I feel. Like, even if like one of your best friends has a baby and you say, how was the childbirth? You both sort of look at each other and just, you know, it was tough. And there's extremities of how tough it is, but then you don't go into the details, and you definitely don't share the details with people who are about to have children. But but I think you should do. It would help me. I went in like blind going into that. I had no idea what to expect or how tough it was going to be.
Quite a common question was, did it make you view my body in a different way?
Yeah, I think having a baby in general, you know, I've never looked at boobs the same way again since you had a baby.
What about the vagina?
The vagina.
By the way, Tom still won't tell me if I pooed in childbirth or not. I always ask him, and I'm like, did I poo? Because obviously, like, you're always really embarrassed about that. And he's like, just don't worry about it.
Don't worry about
that
it.
That definitely means yes.
Just don't worry about it.
Has it made you view my body differently, say, like, before childbirth, before you had to see the sights of Alf coming out to now?
You quickly forget. You're funny how your brain works.
Funny how bloke's brain works.
Yeah, it just throws it down the well and just it's obviously like extremely graphic, and birthing is an incredible thing when you think about it. It's mad. Like what your body does and how it changes and adapts is incredible. I've never viewed you differently since you went through that.
I think it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because
maybe
there's
that's
a
just
lot
me,
of
though, I don't know.
There's, and I hope it's not just you. I'd feel a bit like gutted if men saw someone birth from a child and then were like, ugh, stay away from me. But I think what's really interesting is there's lots of like talk and fear, I guess, around like sex and intimacy after birth. But what I think I forgot is that it's not just me that's scared, because I remember you being like, do you not think I'm scared of hurting you? And I think that's like a really like interesting point, because we did have loads of questions around like sex and intimacy. But obviously I can only speak from your experience, but I feel like after seeing me go through that and obviously knowing that I have stitches and all of that stuff, like Tom was a bit like, I'm scared as well. Whereas I feel like we are society in general makes us feel like if we don't put out, our husbands are going to leave us or our boyfriends are going to leave us. But you've said, like you're saying, it's not like that at all.
No. And like also you're too tired for sex. Like look, new dads, new mum, if you're not having sex, don't worry. Like it's all good. Like the little person is keeping you busy enough. By the time you finish the day, the last thing you want to do is get down. So, but you know, like
I also think it's the communication though, isn't it? Because I suppose if like we never ever talked about it, it might be like, say I might be thinking like, oh my god, does he not find me attractive anymore? Or you might be like, oh, like she doesn't want
it. Yeah, no, but that's just like having like a good line of communication it helps with everything, like regardless of, you know, sex, whatever it is. Like if you communicate how you're feeling, because there's so many new emotions, there's new feelings being a new parent. Like it's all new to you and it's constantly changing and evolving. And we've discovered it. Like we've had quite a few Barneys because we weren't communicating, and then it just builds up and builds up, and then it all just explodes and comes out and it's not healthy.
Did you feel connected to Alf straight away? So like the moment he came out?
Yeah, I think so. You're just like, you're thinking like, what's he going to look like? Like, what is he going to be? Does he going to look like me? Is he going to look like you? He didn't really look like any of us when he first came out. We were like, is this our baby?
He was like purple
bruised. But you just instant love for this little dude. Like, it's like, you can't explain it.
But see, I didn't have that.
You didn't. I know you didn't have that. If I'm being honest, I had that straight away.
I remember saying to Tommy, like, do you love him? And he was like, yeah, I've never experienced anything like it. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I just remember like, do you remember when we took him home? And I was like, hello, like, you live here now. Hope you like. And then obviously it grew. But I remember saying to you, do you love him? And you were like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just all so surreal. Like you can't explain it. That I felt straight away, oh my God, I've just created a little baby. Like, what do we do now? It wasn't like, I wasn't worried about, oh my God, do I love him? Or it was more, okay, how do we keep him alive? Like, what do we do now? Everything's changed. I think that's such the biggest thing about being a new parent, is that point I mentioned before around like, you can't ever be selfish anymore. Like, you know, whatever you did pre-baby, you know, it's great to try and keep your routine and it's great to try and keep doing things that you enjoy, wear fit, but your priority has to be the little bubba right now. And that's like the biggest adaptment and change, I would say.
I feel like for our relationship, the biggest change is the fact that it's not about us anymore. Like we always said in the few months that we had together before Alf or before pregnancy, we were like, we're going to go and have loads of adventures. And we loved like going out and our life was like really sociable, both independently and together. And then obviously lockdown happened. So I feel like that kind of changed our relationship in a way more than having a baby did, because obviously I wasn't traveling anymore or DJing anymore, and we were both living in the house together. We, like, you weren't seeing your mates or I wasn't seeing my mates, and you know, we had quite a few like big dinner parties before lockdown. So I feel like for like the, in terms of like our relationship changing, that was probably like the biggest change, I think. But then I'm actually interested to know, as like a dad, or obviously you specifically, like I guess after we had Alf, so immediately after childbirth, I had, first of all, was like obviously like the physical recovery. And then second of all, I'd say from about like 4 months onwards is when I started to like really struggle mentally. So what was that like for you, like navigating my mental health and my physical health?
It's a tricky one. I feel like the first 4 to 6 months is definitely the hardest. Like I found it the hardest. I think it took a toll on our relationship. I know you found it the hardest.
I thought that we were really good at the beginning.
Really?
Yeah, like the first like few months.
I thought they were the trickiest. If I'm being honest, I thought they were the trickiest months. But because it's also new and everything, it's just you're learning to adapt to the change.
But I feel like I was in a love bubble for the first like. But
maybe that was the lockdown.
Months.
That was because it was lockdown and. Yeah. I feel like every single person who's had a baby in lockdown had experienced these like challenges and difficulties. To your question around the mental health piece, I don't know. Like I'm always quite a positive person, trying probably delusional positivity and a delusional optimist about everything. I do struggle, and we've had arguments because over not taking the positive out of things. And
yeah, so we always joke that Tom's like, Tom's cup is overflowing, whereas my cup is very empty. But I think what was hard is that you, obviously like with mental health, it's different to just like being negative, isn't it?
No, I know.
That's like the stigma around it. So I think Tom found it really hard until we had like a proper good conversation about it, where I actually broke it all down, like how I felt and why I felt. So for example, like, obviously we moved house, so from a flat into a bigger house out of London, and obviously we've got like a beautiful baby boy. So Tom was very much like, what's wrong with you? Like you should not watch, but as in like, look on the bright side. You were very much like, we live in like a beautiful house. We live here. Like, why can't you just look on the bright side? Whereas once I actually broke down how I felt and how it's like that the mother identity, or that feeling of like, you've lost your previous self. Like I feel like guys don't feel it as much. Well, I mean, I guess your life, I mean, it changes, but not to the extent.
Our life isn't impacted as much as yours. Like that's.
And once I actually said like, yeah, we've moved to like a bigger house, but it's also away from my friends and I'm lonely and I, like, you know, I'm not DJing anymore and I'm watching, well, like, you know, once I actually broke down more than just what I was like complaining about on the surface, I feel like then it's like, it's
but that, it goes back to the communication piece. Like you, with being a new parent, you are so focused on looking after the little person. You sometimes forget to take a breath and talk to your other half and say like, how
we, not other half, cause we are two holes.
Sorry. talk to your wife, your girlfriend, your whatever.
He nearly said Mrs. But nearly said Mrs. he was like, oh, she doesn't like that one either. I'm not going to say that.
It's just so important to talk.
This is a question that was asked quite a lot, but I know it's something that's come up with us, like that feeling. Obviously, I've talked a lot about like the resentment of how it's not as hard for dads. And, you know, you guys kind of, I mean, obviously you don't go through childbirth. You go back to work after a couple of weeks, depending on what the paternity leave situation is. And I, because I've like kind of always been working throughout, I have found it, I have had like resentment, haven't I? Like being like, it's not fair. Why do you get to go back to work and I don't? Or all the mental load and the child organising's on me. Like, how did you find navigating that resentment? And how would, what would you recommend to like anyone who's listening? What would you recommend to anyone who's listening, in particular, you know, it'll be a lot of mums listening who are maybe feeling resentment towards their partners. Like, how did you navigate it, or what advice would you give around that?
Yeah, I think first of all, like 2 weeks paternity leave isn't long enough. Like for most people who work for an employer, you have, you know, standard 2 weeks, which is not long enough, because the first week is a blur and you're not sleeping and, you know, your body is in so much sort of pain and discomfort, you know, you could hardly move. And then the second week goes so quickly, and before you know it, bang, you're back at work.
Well, also, and I was in pain for 6 weeks.
No, I know. Sorry. So that, like, in hindsight, I would have taken longer. I'm very lucky that the place I work gives 6 weeks, and I should have taken longer in hindsight. But, you know, the majority of employers would give 2 weeks, which I just don't feel is long enough.
How did you feel, though, when I was, like, basically, like, resenting you? Or what do you wish I had done differently? Or like, did you actually understand where the resentment came from? Or were you just like, well, I remember you saying at one point, like, well, what did you expect? And I was like, I don't know. I feel like, because like, I've never felt like I've been in a domestic role or in a kind of like, I do feel like since having a baby, it has made me feel like I'm more in a kind of gendered role than I've ever like had to feel in my life. Like, you know, I still feel like as progressive and equal as we are getting, like you have a baby, and whether it's because of biological reasons or whatever, like I was like, why am I the one that has to stay at home? Like, I want to be out working and doing all this stuff. And I feel like, you know, the dads get praised for doing so little, whereas the mums get criticism for doing so little.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it, the mums are the superstars. The mums, like, you know, especially like the start of a baby's life, like the mum is number one. And, you know, you're always going to be number one. But especially that start, like they need you, and you need more support than ever. So, you know, it just goes back to my point before, like whatever I can control outside of baby, whether that is food, shopping, cleaning, washing, whatever it is, make sure that you feel as the things that stress you out outside of baby shouldn't exist. And for me, that was the biggest thing for me to focus on. The resentment piece was difficult because we don't have, you know, you don't have like a normal job per se. You know, like you didn't get any maternity leave. You still worked throughout your, like from the day he was born, you didn't stop working basically. So, you know, juggling that was difficult. And, you know, you do some pretty crazy stuff. To be honest, this podcast has been easy compared to taking a picture for Ashley. That has been the biggest frustration for me, is getting the framing right and bloody pictures.
Motherhood's been a doddle compared to being like the Insta husband.
The resentment I get from getting your bloody framing wrong is the trickiest bit, but I think it has been hard for you to, like, especially for me when I started going back to work and we didn't have childcare support, you know, parents weren't as close by, and, you know, we didn't have any support at the early days. That was really hard.
It's quite nice actually looking, like reflecting back, because even though we're talking quite openly about, you know, like the challenges that we've had in our relationship, I feel like a year on, like, I mean, we've always been in a good place, and that's never been like, we've not thought that we thought we weren't right for each other.
No,
but
never.
I feel like a lot of the challenges that we're talking about, we have actually like worked through them. And I think, you know, actually, like, you know, having you guys on social media has been amazing, because when I was in that stage where I was trying to juggle it all, Tom was obviously working. Even if he was working from home, obviously he the luxury of getting to go into your office and close the door, whereas I was just trying to like be with Alf and get my work done, which was kind of making me bad at both. And you know, it was a few of you guys that told me about childcare.com, which is how we found our amazing nanny Razia, who just comes for like a few hours a couple of times a week, which allows me just to like A, focus on my work, but B, like leave Alf. And I feel like that it's like anything, isn't it? You have to be able to leave them, leave it, leave him, leave whatever to be able to like appreciate them. And that, like, I think was like the biggest turning point for like me, because I it kind of helped with the resentment, because I no longer, I got to do my work as well. And obviously as Alf gets older, like it would be literally impossible for me to try and work around him, because he'd probably like ram his hands into a door or something. But I feel like our relationship has evolved a lot, because I don't know, like,
yeah, when you look back, like, we've gone through a lot, and we've faced a lot of challenges, like any new parents in any new parents in general, but any new parents in lockdown as well. You know, there's so much like uncertainty and you know, it is so difficult to know what's around the corner and how to adapt and change to what's going on. But I feel like if we look back in a year, I said last night, this, we've done so much this year. And like, I'm so proud of, you know, what you've done and how you've raised Alf and the way he is now. But I feel like, you know, as a new parent, you're going to put so much pressure on yourself, but, you know, you just don't need to.
And it goes so quickly.
It goes so quickly.
The old cliche.
It's mad. Like, it's nearly one. Well, he's one today, like, crazy.
Yeah, but at the time that this podcast comes out, who will be one today? Yeah, so I would say, like, if anyone's listening and they are going through like the resentment and the struggles, and maybe like they feel like, you know, they're on like just they're not getting on with their partners, like, I would say, like, we did it at the beginning actually, and then I guess you get lost in it a little bit, but it's almost like every week you think, like, what was hard last week? Well, I found this really hard. Like, I resent that you got to go to work, because I really struggle. It's almost like breaking it down, isn't it? Because with resentment, it's like, well, so what aren't you doing that you want to get done? And then almost trying to find a solution. Obviously, like, can you afford childcare? Can you like move closer to parents so that they can help with free childcare? Can, like, what can you do? And it's almost trying to like fix each hurdle, isn't it? So that it's better the following week. And like, loads of times we have to be like, oh, we need to remember to be kinder to each other.
Yeah.
Because like, when you're tired and you're stressed and everything else, but
just go for a walk, like, get some fresh air. The amount of walking we did around Battersea Park and around the park we live now, like, that is good. Get out of your house. if you can, get out of your house, spend some time together, like, outside. You know, we end up going for walks now and Al falls asleep and we just go for a drink. Like,
yeah.
just like, take the stress off things.
Well, we've been to a few, like, we've been to the Toby Carvery, we've been to the Southern Lettuce, pretty much anywhere we pass, if Alf's asleep, we're like, do you have a quick drink? And I guess that's one thing about like trying to make time for each other. Like, even if the baby isn't sleeping and you don't get the luxury of like the evenings on your own in the house, like, that's kind of like how we've tried to make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we've talked for England. I hope that you guys have enjoyed this. I feel like it's like couples therapy. But obviously, normally I ask a question from you guys every week, but I feel like we've answered about 10,000 of them. So if you did have any questions or you had any comments around this podcast episode, get in touch. askmumsthewordpod@gmail.com, and don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Quite often some of the questions we answer are from Apple Podcasts. And thank you so much for listening to Ashley James' First Time Mum, the Parenting Podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe or follow button. And well, let's round it off by saying, what's been the best part of becoming a dad, and what's your favourite thing about Alf?
I just think, like, waking up to him every day, his little face when he wakes up and he's half asleep and he knows who you are. And he now he's at the stage where he mimics. So he loves animals. He loves the wheels on the bus. And he starts doing he does the wiper motions, which my mum taught him. Every time he does that, I just think, God, this little man, I would do anything for this little kid.
To be fair, you were in the gym this morning when he woke up, but he opened his eyes and farted. So you, I feel like you get the glory parts. I was just like, lol.
I don't have a favourite part. It's just like seeing him grow every day and seeing him evolve so quickly from sitting up to crawling to standing. You know, every day you're just like, Jesus, I'm so proud of him. he's just the best. Yeah, I can't say. My favourite thing about him is probably his breath.
Dogs are so weird. He always is like, let me get a sniff of that breath.
He just has the best breath.
Doesn't do that to me.
No, definitely not in the morning.
Anyway, right, I'm gonna let you go. Please keep spreading the news and tell another person about the podcast, especially this episode, if you think it would be useful. And I'll be back with another episode, same time, same place next week, when Alf will be one. Oh my God.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.